Welcome to a very special edition of Onc Live On Air. I'm your host today, Caroline Seymour. Onc Live On Air is a podcast from Onc Live, which provides oncology professionals with the resources and information they need to provide the best patient care. In both digital and print formats, Onc Live covers every angle of oncology practice, from new technology to treatment advances to important regulatory decisions. Today, we had the pleasure of speaking with Courtney DiNardo, MD, MSCE, clinical researcher in the Department of Leukemia of the Division of Cancer Medicine at the University of Texas MD Anderson Cancer Center, to discuss the results of the Phase 3 VIALE-A trial in acute myeloid leukemia. In November 2018, the FDA granted an accelerated approval to venetoclax for use in combination with azacitidine, decitabine, or low-dose cytarabine in the treatment of adult patients with newly diagnosed AML who are aged 75 years or older, or who have comorbidities that preclude use of intensive induction chemotherapy, based on the results from two Phase 1b/2 trials in this setting. During the 2020 European Hematology Association Congress, DiNardo presented the results of the VIALE-A trial, in which the combination of venetoclax and azacitidine resulted in a 34% reduction in the risk of death versus azacitidine alone in treatment-naive patients with AML who are ineligible for intensive therapy. At a median follow-up of 20.5 months, the median overall survival was 14.7 months with venetoclax and azacitidine versus 9.6 months with azacitidine and placebo. VIALE-A is the first Phase 3 study in older unfit patients with newly diagnosed AML to show a survival benefit of this magnitude, according to DiNardo, who added that the combination should be considered a new standard of care option for older patients who are not eligible for standard intensive chemotherapy. Additionally, the complete response rate with venetoclax and azacitidine was more than double that of azacitidine and placebo at 36.7% and 17.9% respectively. Notably, responses favored the addition of venetoclax irrespective of cytogenetic risk or molecular subgroup. The toxicities reported were consistent with the known safety profile of the combination of venetoclax and azacitidine and those of each agent alone. The most common all-grade gastrointestinal adverse effects observed in the venetoclax and azacitidine placebo arms included nausea, constipation, diarrhea, and vomiting. Serious AEs in the venetoclax, azacitidine, and azacitidine placebo arms included febrile neutropenia and pneumonia. Grade 3 or higher hematological AEs consisted of thrombocytopenia, neutropenia, febrile neutropenia, anemia, and leukopenia. DiNardo added that bone marrow biopsies should be performed at the end of cycle 1 with the combination, as opposed to 3 or 4 months into treatment with azacitidine alone. In our exclusive interview, DiNardo discussed the role of venetoclax in the AML treatment paradigm and explained the significance of the results of the VIALE-A trial. Could you briefly describe the current utility of venetoclax in AML?
Venetoclax, at least in the United States, is now considered a standard of care option for older patients who are diagnosed with AML, so newly diagnosed, who are considered ineligible or otherwise inappropriate for intensive chemotherapy. And so in general, these are patients who are 65 years of age and older with that new diagnosis of AML that would previously have received Vidaza or decitabine alone. In other countries around the world, low-dose cytarabine is used frequently in that population as well. So the approvals now are for low-dose cytarabine with venetoclax, azacitidine, or decitabine with venetoclax for that newly diagnosed population.
Before we get into the design and findings of the trial, could you just shed light on the current unmet need for patients who are ineligible for intensive therapy?
Well, first of all, the majority of our AML patients are older. So the average age is about like 68 to 72 years at the time of diagnosis. And so because our patients are older, due to both, you know, medical comorbidities as well as a higher risk disease-related biology in our older AML patients, the prognosis of our older AML patients has just been poor for decades, really. They don't tolerate intensive chemotherapy well, and lower intensity strategies, things like azacitidine or decitabine or low-dose cytarabine, are effective. You know, they are what we use, but they're associated with remission rates of, you know, 30 to 40% and median survival is well under a year. And so while we do have therapies to offer. Our therapies are really suboptimal. The basis for this trial was that in a phase one study, the addition of the oral BCL-2 inhibitor venetoclax in combination with either azacitidine or decitabine provided really impressive remission rates and some signals that they were having more durable responses. So the hope was in this kind of larger phase three confirmatory trial, we'd be able to see that the combination of azacitidine and venetoclax provided benefit.
So what was the design of the trial? Could you elaborate a little bit more on the primary and secondary endpoints?
This was as I mentioned, it's a large international placebo-controlled phase three study. So there were 433 patients who were randomized, and patients were eligible if they were an adult with AML, newly diagnosed, who had one of a host of different comorbidities, making them ineligible or otherwise inappropriate for intensive chemotherapy. And so it was a 2-to-1 randomization. So patients would either get azacitidine with venetoclax or azacitidine with placebo, and it was a double-blind placebo-controlled study. And the primary endpoint, of course, was overall survival. We were looking to see that this combination provided clinical benefit in terms of improving average overall survival. And the key secondary endpoints were remission, composite remission rates, time to first remission, transfusion independence, event-free survival, and evaluation of responses in various different molecular subgroups.
So what did we see in terms of efficacy, and were the results upheld across patients with different cytogenetic risks and ages?
First of all, the patients that were getting the placebo arm, they were getting azacitidine alone. The remission rate was very consistent with what we expect to see with azacitidine alone. So we saw a remission rate of about 20%, and we saw a composite remission rate, so a CR or a CRI, of about 30%. So that's really kind of what we would expect to see. With the combination, when you added venetoclax to that, we saw a CR rate of 36% and a CR-CRI rate of 66%, so more than doubling the remission rate. And so that was clinically meaningful. It was statistically significant. And those responses were improved and significant across all kind of evaluated subsets. So including patients with high risk cytogenetics and, you know, FLT3 mutations, NPM1, IDH, all the various different mutations that were assessed. And then the primary endpoint, of course, was overall survival. And so there was a median follow-up time of almost 2 years for this study. It's been going on for quite some time. And there was an improvement in overall survival, which was super exciting to see. It's the first kind of phase three study in newly diagnosed older unfit patients to show a demonstrable survival benefit from about 10 months with azacitidine alone up to 14.7 months with the combination. So that met the primary analysis.
And did the combination have an acceptable safety profile? What were some of the most common adverse events that were seen?
It did have a kind of expected safety profile, what we saw in the phase one study, which is that in general, it's well tolerated. There was no increase in early 30 or 60 day mortality, for instance. You do see an increased risk of cytopenias with neutropenia in particular and neutropenia related infections. And so that is something to be aware of. We monitor our patients on this combination closely with labs. And one of the most important things with this combination to be aware of is to make sure to do a bone marrow at the end of cycle one. So that's not something that we always do in patients receiving azacitidine alone. We'll tend to do bone marrows like 3 months, 4 months, sometimes even later. But getting that end of cycle one bone marrow is really important because a lot of our patients will be in a remission at the end of the first cycle. And so if their counts are low, right around day 28, it's not because they still have disease. Their disease is gone, and we just need to wait another week or two for their counts to recover from the combination therapy. And so there are some important management guidelines in terms of monitoring cytopenias and giving the azacitidine and venetoclax based on count recovery.
So I think after hearing these data, the implications are clear, but what are the implications of these findings?
Well, that the combination of azacitidine and venetoclax really should be considered a new standard of care for our older patients who are not getting standard intensive chemotherapy. So, you know, not only were there improvements in overall survival, but, you know, there was a doubling of response rates. The duration of remission was improved. There was also improvements in transfusion independence. And so all of these secondary key endpoints that I don't have time to go into today were also significant. So it really does represent a very important new treatment for our older AML patients.
That's all we have for today. Thank you for listening to this special episode of Onc Live On Air. Check back on Mondays and Thursdays for exclusive interviews with leading experts in the oncology field and recaps from our State of the Science summits and institutional perspectives on cancer webinars. For more updates on oncology, be sure to visit www.onclive.com and sign up for our e-newsletters. OncLive is also on social media. On Twitter, follow us at OncLive and OncLive SOSS. On Facebook, like us at OncLive and OncLive State of the Science Summit, and follow our OncLive page on LinkedIn. If you like today's episode of OncLive On Air, please consider subscribing to our podcast on Apple Podcasts, so you get a notification every time a new episode is posted. While you are there, please take a moment to rate us. Thanks again for listening to OncLive On Air.